Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, one day when I was at Adventureland with my kids, I saw a shirt. Man was wearing a shirt that said he was the world's best dad. And I thought, wow, what are the odds? I mean, billions of dads on this planet, and I just happen to be at the same amusement park as the world's best dad. Okay, it's possible he didn't actually earn that shirt. Somebody may have bought that for him. But, you know, as we joke about things like that, we understand that in this sin-filled world, there are no perfect dads. There are no perfect moms. No, there are no perfect families. Even the first family turned out far from perfect. In the Old Testament lesson today, Genesis, Adam and Eve start out as the perfect couple in Genesis chapter 2. But by Genesis chapter 3, they are arguing with each other and blaming each other for who ate the fruit and whose idea it was. And then by Genesis 4, well, tragically, one of their sons murders the other one. Not a perfect family by any stretch of the imagination, and no family since has been perfect. Except for one. Believe it or not, you are part of a perfect family. Your heavenly family. You have a perfect father, God, and you have a perfect brother, and his name is Jesus. And that's what our gospel and epistle lesson are speaking about today. The gospel lesson speaks about our perfect father, God, and our epistle lesson speaks about our perfect brother, Jesus. And I want to talk about your perfect father and your perfect brother today, starting with our gospel lesson, Mark chapter 10, which talks about God as the perfect father. In Mark chapter 10, parents were bringing little children, including babies, to Jesus to bless them. The disciples turned them away, thinking Jesus was too busy. But Jesus rebuked his disciples. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God. The reason Jesus gives for letting the children come to him is important to consider. He says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. In Jesus' own words, in order to enter the kingdom of God, we need to become little children. In fact, we need to become children of our Heavenly Father. God is our perfect Father, who does three things for us. He, number one, adopts us. How does God adopt us? Well, if you were to adopt a child today, there would be all kinds of background checks and paperwork and red tape to go through. It is a long and lengthy process. God adopted you and made you his son or his daughter through a less complicated but much more powerful process called holy baptism through water and the word. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In baptism through water and the word, we are literally born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus needed to happen for him to enter the kingdom of God. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus asked how. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. That's holy baptism. God's word combined with water. Or as Titus 3:5 puts it, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Through holy baptism, God adopted us into his family. Now, as the perfect father, he does more than just adopt us. He also cares for us. That's point number two. Our Father cares for us. One of the lessons he tried to get across to his disciples, Jesus, that is, was how valuable they were in the eyes of God. One time Jesus told them how God cares for the birds of the air. And if he cares for the birds of the air, well, how much more will he care for you? Mark 10 says, Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more valuable than many sparrows. God, your loving Heavenly Father, loves you more than you love yourself. He is more interested in you than you are in yourself. Let me ask you a question. How many hairs are on your head? Now, that may not be such a hard question for me to answer, but God knows the number of hairs on my head. I recognize I don't have that many, but even I don't care about myself enough to count how many hairs I have left. But God knows, because God cares that much. Let me ask you another question. How many times yesterday did you sit down and stand up? No idea. I'm sure you don't, but God knows. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." You see, God is interested in the smallest details of your life. Every part of your life, God is interested in. He is the perfect Father. He is the Heavenly Father who cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." God, our perfect Father, adopts us into his family through baptism. God cares for us. And number three, God, our perfect Heavenly Father, gives us an inheritance. That's number three. It's not just any inheritance. It is an eternal inheritance. 1 Peter 1 says, "In his great mercy, God has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, an inheritance kept in heaven for you." The perfect Father gives us a perfect inheritance, and you can't even begin to imagine what God has in store for you. It is, as 1 Peter tells us, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Let me ask you a question. At the grocery store, do you ever look at expiration dates? I imagine you do. You don't want to eat spoiled food. Everything, I don't know if you've noticed, but everything in this world has an expiration date. It's probably known only to God, but everything does have an expiration date. Not only food, but cars, houses, buildings, nations, our bodies. Even the world itself has an expiration date. Again, that's known only to God. But one day, this world will be burned by fire and everything else will crumble to dust. Nothing in this world lasts forever, but the inheritance you are going to receive will last forever. It will never perish, spoil, or fade. And not only will the inheritance last forever, so will you. You will live long enough to enjoy that inheritance, which is all of eternity. You see, God gives you eternal life as a free gift. And he, at the resurrection, will give us new bodies that will not wear out. So how does that happen? I mean, how can God give us eternal life as a free gift? Well, that is where our perfect brother, Jesus, comes in. To be honest, I'm a little uncomfortable calling Jesus our brother. I mean, he's so much more than you and I. He is God. We are not. He is perfect. We are not. He has obeyed God's law perfectly. You and I have not. On our own, I don't think any of us would dare to call Jesus our brother. But it's not we who call Jesus our brothers. Here's the amazing thing. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus is the one who calls us his brothers and his sisters. Hebrews 2:11 says, "For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." Isn't that an amazing thing? Jesus himself calls us his brothers and sisters. What an honor it is. And Jesus is the perfect brother. Let me share with you three things our perfect brother Jesus did for us. Number one, our brother humbled himself. He is God, but he decided to lower himself to our level. And at the first Christmas, he was born as a human, born in Bethlehem, and laid in a manger. Hebrews 2:9 describes that Jesus, for a little while, was made lower than the angels. He became one of us. He became fully human. It's impossible for our minds to begin to conceive of the miracle that occurred in the incarnation. Jesus humbled himself beyond what any human being could ever do. As Philippians 2:7 puts it, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus humbled himself by becoming a human being, but his humiliation would go to even greater depths. Not only did our brother humble himself, our perfect brother died for us. That's what Hebrews 2:9 goes on to say, that Jesus was crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. You see, Jesus did more than just become a human being. He humbled himself completely, even to the point of death. As Philippians 2:8 says, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He died on a cross in order to take our place. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus is your brother, and he is your best friend who died for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Jesus died for a reason, and that reason was to save you. So Hebrews 2:9 goes on to say, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Jesus tasted death so that we might be saved from death. He died so that death itself would lose its sting. He died so that you and I might live forever. Lots of people say they love you, but Jesus demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There have been lots of people who've compared themselves to Jesus, lots of imitators, lots of people who pretend to be like Jesus, but Jesus is the one and only Savior from sin and from death. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There is no other name, no other Savior than Jesus Christ. He is the perfect brother. He is the son of the perfect father. And the perfect father sent his perfect son into this world so that we might become sons and daughters of God. The perfect father sent his perfect son into this world so that we might live with him forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.